The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Brandon Miller, and I'm here from York, Pennsylvania, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 435 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Mike. So today's song, since I got the mantle back, is we're talking about small things like me. All the Small Things by Blink-182, which is probably your favorite song to run to, Mike, right?
It's one of my favorite, yes.
Of course it is.
Blink? Is that?
Blink, one...
he can't even say
Blink 182.
Why is with the 182 come in?
I have no clue. That's their name. What did I tell you?
And they're not new. They've been around for a long time. Yeah. You're so charming.
They're new to me.
All right. They're new to you.
Who's that All lovely right. voice over there?
It's none other than Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for, guys?
I'm thankful for you guys in this podcast. It always makes me happy.
That's nice.
Link points. I'll mark
right.
it down.
Yeah. So I'm going to give a shout out, and this is somebody I'm very thankful for, and her name is Melanie Camphouse, and she was a part of Team All Ears and is a running buddy from Denver. I think she's from Denver. She's from somewhere in Colorado, and we love her. And Melanie, she's just such a nice. She's one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. So anyway, Melanie, big shout out to you.
Great. Very good. For my tip is that anytime you go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, regardless of whether you go into a store, shop, or restaurant, you always ask what kind of discounts are available. You may or may not have all of them, but you may have one or two of them. It could be DVC, it could be annual pass, it could be AAA, it could be a number of things. It never hurts to ask. So whenever you shop or eat in Walt Disney World, say, do you have any discounts? You may be surprised.
One of the things I've noticed about Disneyland is the people there always seem to ask if you have an annual pass or,
Yeah, it depends upon the cast.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
No, I know. It just seems to be a thing there. So I don't know. Not as much as at Walt Disney World, but good tip. Yep.
We are continuing with our question and answer series with Jeff Galloway, and so without further ado, let's get back to the questions. The next question comes from Nancy Nielsen Thompson, and Nancy says she would like to hook up with one of your pacers at the Tinkerbell race weekend. She wants to know if you have them there and how she can hook up with them, and she says she's joined your running group at home and she loves it.
Well, we are actually in discussions with Run Disney about providing pace groups, and it looks like we have a deal to do the Walt Disney World upcoming races of the marathon weekend and then also at Princess. We have not gotten the permission to be the pace group leader out in Disneyland, and we hope that will come through. It has not come through yet, but we're really excited about this. We actually provided pacers for Wine and Dine, and it worked really, really well. So anyway, I can't right now with Tinkerbell. We don't have permission, but we're working on it.
Michelle?
That's pretty cool. All right. Laurie Wiener, who's Mickey Miler, wants to know, Jeff, do you have any recommendations for running in the snow? Running in the snow is much more difficult and uses different muscles. Would you reduce the miles or just count it as an extra hard workout and run on the required miles on the training schedule?
Just a little backtrack on Nancy's question she just asked, and that is, we do have a number of Galloway groups around the country who come to all of the Disney races, and they will be carrying their little green timers that we have, and you'll hear them beep, and you'll see them taking walk breaks. Do not hesitate to go up to any of these folks and say, what are you doing? Can I run with you? And so forth. The other way is in Orlando, we have a program, and near Disneyland, we have a program in Long Beach. And you can go to jeffgalloway.com, click on training programs, and either Long Beach or Orlando, and then get the leaders, and then ask where their runners will be meeting before the race. So on to Laurie's question, and that is running in the snow. And, you know, having lived in Atlanta almost all of my life, and Florida also, you would think that I would not have much experience. But actually, I have. I spent 4 years and four cold winters up in Middletown, Connecticut at Wesleyan University, and I ran most of the days during the winter. And I had my share of slipping and sliding away during those runs. My suggestions are based first on safety. You need to try to find areas that don't have black ice. And this may be a problem, but it also helps to have an indoor alternative, a treadmill or a track indoors somewhere. Then what happens with some of the days when you are challenged with that, oftentimes you can start out indoors and warm up and then have a place outside that is safe to run. Now, in terms of the different muscles, again, watch out for slipping, because this is dangerous and it can really cause you to get an injury that will put you out of running for weeks or months. So a safe surface is really important. But there are a number of snowy days, and I've run countless numbers of them, when the snow covers the road or the path and you can run on it if you'll just be very, very careful. And then take walk breaks more liberally to make sure that you're not coming up on some debris that's underneath the snow on the road and so forth. So more walk breaks are really the key to that. And just be safe. You know, it's each snowfall presents us with unique challenges. And if you'll just stay in your human conscious brain and away from that monkey brain that may drive you too fast on the snow, you can be safe.
All right. So next one up is from Tammy Poteet Campbell, who says, I have heel pain in my left heel. Any tips? I've been to the doctor. Any tips?
Well, you know, without knowing anything else about this, I have several comments. The first one is that I'm not a doctor and I do not give medical advice. So you really do have to rely on what your doctor says. Now, I also deal with a lot of runners. Every day I hear from about 100 runners on the average, and about 20 or 30 of them have injury questions. My role is just to give advice from one runner to another to keep them in the healing mode and not getting further injured. So you want to stay below the threshold of irritation. So you don't want to do anything that makes that heel pain worse. Usually some form of a support system so that your heel can sit down in the heel of the shoe and not roll around. Usually that helps keep the heel, your own heel, in the healing mode. You want to put, it sounds like it might be plantar fascia. That's the most common one of those injuries. But in any case, when you wake up in the morning, you want to put your foot into a supportive shoe before you even step down out of bed. Having that really good solid support, never walking barefooted or never walking in loose sandals or flip-flops, can allow that heel to continue healing. You don't want to stretch a heel that is injured, because it tends to keep tearing those adhesions and the healing that goes on. Often rubbing a chunk of ice for 15 minutes every night has been very productive in allowing heel pain to go away. And we have found a vibrating massage tool that you will see on our website. And that is called, of all things, the BFF. And we actually have a discount code for Mickey Milers that I will divulge to you, and it I will have to do is find out what that code is and send that to you, Michelle, so you can put it up on your website. But it vibrates, and as you run this vibrating massage tool over the heel, it allows more blood flow to come in, and it really has speeded up the healing of heel injuries and other areas where there's not much blood flow significantly. So also avoid any form of running that tends to cause the thing to get worse. And if you stay below the threshold of further irritation, your body is programmed to heal itself. So it will eventually heal.
Jeff, I wanted to just spend a little bit of time on the injury issue. And I know that you've talked with many people who have asked you about injuries, and my question is, can you put a finger on what you think is the biggest cause of injuries? Two things come to mind, and I just was curious if you could comment on both of these. Number one, I would think that overuse comes into play here, and the other thing is, and it's probably related to that first one, it's overtraining. Have you found that to be the case?
In almost every case, running injuries are overuse, and when you stay within the bounds of a gentle increase followed by a recovery period so that any damage can be repaired, we usually see runners continue on for months, sometimes years, without a single injury. So every other day running is very productive in staying injury-free, and then adjusting the walk breaks so that they're taken more frequently and the runs are run shorter. And then when you're trying to ramp up towards a marathon or half marathon, slowing the pace down is crucial, and putting a lot more frequent walk breaks into all of the long runs. Finally, speed work in any form has a very high injury risk, so you really want to watch out and ease into it, warm up thoroughly before doing any speed work. And then if you feel any sign that you could be coming on with an injury during any workout, you want to walk for 3 to 5 minutes to try to let everything reset, and then start back more gently. And if it still comes back, then stop the workout for that day.
It all comes down to Jeff's common sense.
Yes, it does. The problem is there's a lot of different forms of common sense, and some of them are very productive, and others are really going to cause you to get injured. So
that's right.
You really have to focus on the things that have been proven to keep you injury-free, and that's what I have found anyway.
Thank you for those thoughts. Our next question comes from Ken Pollock, and Ken wants to know if you will ever consider a JG 26.2, because he says Atlanta is pretty far to drive for just a two-hour run.
Well, first of all, you have to realize that the whole thing about our weekend is not just running the race. It's a whole weekend of activities, of really fun people, upbeat people that you meet. You get inspired by these folks. You go through a series of clinics and upbeat things that'll keep you motivated for months afterwards. So it's not 2 hours, it's the whole weekend, and it will inspire you, I guarantee. This year we have Donna Deegan, who It has fought off breast cancer four times and has raised millions of dollars for breast cancer research through her race that we thoroughly support, the Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer. Anyway, she's going to be there. She will inspire you. And also, the course is a very historic course. It goes by the Margaret Mitchell House, the Jimmy Carter Library, the Martin Luther King Center, and just a lot of really neat places in Atlanta. So you're going to get a lot more than just being out there for 2 hours. So I hope that you will consider it. But I will say, Ken, that we have considered and we will continue to consider doing a 26.2, but it won't be this year.
I bet it requires a lot more coordination in terms of, blocking off streets and community, neighborhoods and things like that. I can't imagine.
We have a beautiful course in the Midtown District, a very busy district of Atlanta. And we, through the hard work of our key security consultant Wayne Mock, who is simply amazing, have been able to put together this amazing course for a half marathon. And it finishes with 2 miles in our beautiful Piedmont Park. But all that said, a 26-miler, it would inconvenience a whole lot of people who live in that area. So we'd probably do the 26.2 in a different area.
Interesting. All right, Trevor Miner wants to know, outside of Run Disney events and your own race, Jeff, what are some of your favorite races?
Actually, my son Brennan and I wrote a book together called America's Best Runs, and it has over 50 of these. A number of events are in there, also some of the most amazing trails that you will ever run are in there. And you can get that autograph from our website if you'd like to. But the bottom line on races is that they're like children. They're different. But there are some that are just spectacular from various standpoints. And the ones that Barb and I go back to every year, first, the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. There are just so many wonderful experiences that we have with people during that weekend, more so than any other event. And of course, Disney takes care of getting you to the start, finish, entertains you along the way at the expo. Anyway, it is a very special experience. The most beautiful marathon overall is the Big Sur Marathon, and Barb and I just absolutely love that marathon too. We're there practically every single year, and that one is highly recommended. The Missoula Marathon in Montana in July, usually very, very good temperatures, and people end up really loving that ranch land that you run through with vistas of the mountains, and you're right near Glacier Park, so it's a destination type race in July. The next month, August, our favorite is the Anchorage Run Fest. It has a series of events, including an ultra that's a 49-kilometer. And it's the only ultra that Barb and I run every year. But it runs along the edge overlooking the harbor and the water. And it goes up into a park area. And the temperature usually ranges from around 53 to 59. Now, where else in August can you find those temperatures? And there are a lot of PRs that are set because of that. Other ones, the Ogden Marathon, absolutely gorgeous. Comes out of the canyon and runs, has a significant downhill push. So, again, a lot of people get PRs on that course. And I could really go on and on, and I really, we don't have time for that, but there are just so many gorgeous, upbeat courses and events that you've really got to try them.
And those are great suggestions. Trevor also wants to know, do you know of any family, kid-friendly races that you'd recommend outside of Run Disney in your own?
Well, most of those events that I just told you about are not huge events, and therefore kids don't feel intimidated by these huge crowds that you will see at some of the other ones. And each one of those has some kids' events with it, and the kids really get caught up in those events. So I really do recommend all those events for families.
Man, another book I got to buy. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, we just did our gifts, our runner gift suggestions. You could put that on your running gift.
Yeah, I love that idea. That book sounds awesome.
And at our website, you can get them autographed. So it's a special, extra special gift.
I like it. I'm going to have to do that. So, okay, so moving on. David O'Connell wants to talk about recovering from long gaps in training. For example, he went training three times a week to over a three-month gap due to work, and the marathon is just a little over a month away. Any suggestions for getting back and recovering after long gaps in training?
Yeah, it's not the best thing, but we all, at some point, if we run 10 years or more, are going to have some episode when, due to work or family or sickness or whatever, we had to take a break. Now, the default mechanism is quite simple. It's called walking, and you can walk all of the long runs and catch up with the schedule, and you will get all the endurance based on the distance that you cover. So look at the schedule that I did for Run Disney, and then see where you should be at this time. You could ramp it up gradually and have 4 or 5 miles increase between the long runs in order to not go right into, say, a 20 or 23 miler walk right away. And because you're walking on the long ones, you can actually increase the distance on each long walk more than you would. So the way I usually do that is, let's just say that the next long run on the Run Disney schedule would be around 23 miles. What I would do on my coaching clients who have similar problems is I would schedule the long walks every other week, and the last long walk would be 2 weeks before the Walt Disney World Marathon, and then every 2 weeks leading up to it. And let's say that you had, how many weeks do we have before Walt Disney World Marathon? Anybody know?
About eight weeks.
Okay, so there are 4 long ones that you could do. The first one could be about 12 to 14 miles, and that sounds like a long way, but on a walk, it really can be done. And then the next one could be 17 or 18, and then the following one could be 21 or 22, and then the last one, 2 weeks before, could be up around 24 to 26. And then you would get all of the endurance of those walks. The only caution with walking is you don't want to walk with a long stride. That is a source and a cause of injury. So just walk with a nice, gentle, short stride, cover the distance, and you'll be ready for the endurance. Now, because you haven't been doing a lot of running, David, the main issue also will be to have some short runs that would use the run, walk, run, so that you would be able to get your running muscles back in shape. And I would recommend starting out with 10 seconds of running and 50 seconds of walking, and gradually work down to 10 seconds of running and 30 seconds of walking during the first couple of weeks. And then from that point on, you could just find a few other strategies, such as 15 seconds running, 30 seconds of walking, or ultimately 15 run, 20 to 25 seconds of walking. And sometimes the fitness will come back on the short run so that you can do equal amounts. The equal amount that's really worked best has been 15 seconds of running, 15 seconds of walking. Barbara and I use that in all of our marathons. A lot of other people use that, and they are blown away by how quickly they recover with that. So try all of those out on the short days, and then on the long ones, just walk. And we've had a very high success rate with that formula.
Boy, Jeff, I broke my toe about a month ago. I wish I had talked to you. It's not like I don't know how to contact you.
I know. Don't ever hesitate, yeah, Michelle.
Because I've been kind of ramping it up every week and thinking that was the best way to do it. But now if I had talked to you, I would have felt a lot less pressure about the whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That concludes part two of our three-part series with Jeff Galloway. And it never ceases to amaze me how Jeff is so effortlessly answering these questions, and also how he makes it very personal when he's talking to you and answering your questions. So we hope that you will join us for part three of our series with Jeff Galloway as he continues to answer the rest of the questions. And also, we want to remind you at this time that January is coming fast. The Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend is coming up, and we'll be having several events during that weekend. On Thursday, January 5th at 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll hold a Mickey Miles and More podcast post-5K breakfast meet. We'll hold that at Sunshine Seasons in the Land Pavilion in Future World at Epcot. And on Friday, January 6th at 2 in the afternoon, we'll be holding a Mickey Miles and More podcast 10K carb load meet at Disney's Boardwalk Bakery. On Saturday, January 7th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll be holding a half marathon celebration at the Wave Lounge at Disney's Contemporary Resort. So we hope to see you on those three occasions. Come by, say hello, tell us about your race, show us your bling. But don't forget, we want you to keep Sunday night, January 8th open. Save that date. We have something planned. We're already in the planning stages, and we'll have details out there for everyone to look at and see as soon as possible. So please save that date. So for Jeff Galloway, for Chris Aliopoulos, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.